Jesus, we're here today in adoration, in awe of all you've done. We honour you today. Lord, we do thank you, as Tony spoke about. We thank you for all you have given us. We recognise that all has come from you. You're our protector, our shield. You're our standard, our salvation. And Lord, we just come with humbled hearts today. Lord, as we take a few minutes to dwell on your word, Holy Spirit, I ask you'd come. Your grace would be here. Lord, I ask you to enable me to speak and that you'd open ears and hearts to listen. Jesus, pour grace out on us today. May we leave differently. May we catch a glimpse of you today and our lives change because of it. Lord, our desire is to know you more, to have more of you. And so we open our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I also really like Kent's communion talk today and also Tony. And today we're going to think about faith, embracing faith. And have you ever been to the ocean? I remember as a young person, we'd go to the Sunshine Coast for holidays with my parents, and we'd go down to the beach, and we used to like to boogie board. And most days the waves were just normal waves, but some days you'd go down and before you even got to the beach, you're just looking at them and you think, they look big today. And you're trying to work out if there's anywhere you can go out and swim, and they just look, you know, we're from Yeppoon, you know, if we get a swell coming in this high, we've got our surfboards and the roof racks and we're heading out, you know. And so when you go down south where the waves are a bit bigger, you know, sometimes you can think about it twice. So you get to the beach and you're just looking at it. You're wondering, are they a bit too big? And then sort of you step into the ocean, you can feel the power of the waves. You know, as waves start to crash, they start drawing back ocean, you know that? You know, and it just gets shallower and shallower as the waves start to build up. And you can feel yourself being drawn into that. And then many times if you didn't quite get that wave right, they'd dump you. How many people have been dumped in a wave? Yes, many, many times, right? And I remember this one particular time where you're just being rolled over and over and over and you're being scraped on the sand and you're wondering if you'll ever get a breath again. It suddenly feels like the ocean is about 10 meters deep and you just get up and get half a breath and the next one hits you, right? Yeah, and it just starts all over again. And to me, that's what doubt is like. Sometimes in life, you know, doubts come, and that's what they're like. You just don't think you can get a breath, and it's hard to comprehend anything else. And James talks a bit like this, not that exact, and you know that exact thing, but he says, when doubts hit, he refers it to waves being hit by the wind, just being tossed to and fro. And when you're under one of those dumpers, it just feels like you're just being tossed back and forward and there's no way out. But today we're going to talk about faith and embracing it. James 2:14 says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Or for me, it does not have action. That's a good one for me. It does not have works, action. Can his faith save him? And that's, James asked that question all those years ago, and that's the question we're going to ask today. If you have faith without action, without works, can your faith save you? So what kind of action? Because we do plenty of things. We travel overseas a lot. We go and help people. This morning we're listening to Maureen and Kathy talk about Christians Against Poverty. We run these courses. The debt centre is going to open next year. This is action. This is our Christianity in action. This is us helping poor people, helping people who are destitute, helping people who need help. Kids Hope, we go and spend time, every week we go and spend hours with kids who, who don't have the best life. Action, is that our faith in action? And yes, it is. That is faith in action, and we all need to do it. The Bible commands us to remember the poor, and we do it. We do it through our programs here. We do it all personally, don't we? How many times does, the Salvos or Anglicare or someone come to your door and you just give them money? Or you're down at Supercheap and, they're talking about someone in sickness and you just give them money. It's little, but that's our faith, what we believe in action, we give. Or we help, or we see someone and we buy them a drink. That's faith in action, and that's all good. But today, I don't want to focus on, programs and external measures of faith. I want to focus on how we live our every single day life. Just our normal decisions, how we act. And does our faith in Jesus reflect that, or is our faith just the fact that we dress up on Sundays and come here and we live the exact same way as everybody else through the week? Because that isn't really faith. Faith changes us. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we act. So if we come here and worship on Sunday, but through the week we have the same thoughts about how to control our finances. The Bible has some very clear guidelines on financial wisdom and all it has to say. But it has much to say in Matthew about worry. Do not worry. Look how God provides. But I guess a lot of us, we get home and we see things and we worry. That's not faith. Faith should change how we live every single day, and we should learn to embrace it. So I'm going to talk about, who that is? That's Noah, right? You can see his boat. I'm going to talk about a few people from the Bible and how their faith, that was an action, but what I want to concentrate is some of those internal feelings they would be having, because I think that each of us have similar feelings in our day-to-day life. So I can imagine, this is a long time ago, obviously, because there's no real photos. So I had to make up one. Can you imagine Noah building this ark? It took him 100 years to build it. So you could pick any one of those days in 100 years. That's a lot of days, where the sun rises and large crowds gather to watch that. A gigantic ship resting on dry ground in a culture where they'd never seen rain before. This ship is big. It's about 137 metres long. 23 metres high and 14 wide. This building is about 40, so it's a big boat. And I bet they all thought Noah was mad, right? He had done something and lost his senses. Kent was talking earlier about God using silly things. This would be a pretty big silly thing. And they're probably all jeering him, mocking him. They're probably saying, Noah, what is your problem? And why are you going to need a boat? Rain. And how are you ever going to get this thing to the water? There's a reason they build boats near the water. It's so they don't have to push them kilometres to get to it. He would have told them what God had told him. He had a word from God, which he believed, and he would have told them. But, in the New Testament it says Noah was a preacher of righteousness, both from what he told them and obviously his actions. But the onlookers refused to believe. They just did, and we know that because only 8 people got on that boat. So he would have probably been disheartened at times, having to listen to the onlookers. But what may have hurt him most, I know this is taking a bit of liberty, is that to hear his relatives and his friends also have a go at him. Because except for his wife and his sons, none of his other relatives were on that boat either. None of his friends were on that boat. Days turned into weeks, weeks turned into months, months turned into years, years turned into decades. This isn't a decision that he just has to hold on to 5 days, or as Dennis tells us in a minute, maybe an hour, and then things change. This is something he's heard from God that he has to hold on to for 100 years and keep on holding and keep on holding and keep on holding. As time passed, he may have had moments where if he wondered if he was wrong. He suffered their ridicule year after year after year, but he clearly remembered and followed the words of God. To the people, like Kent said, he was building a monument to stupidity. That's what everyone else thought. To God, he was building a monument to faith and a monument to obedience. And finally, after all the animals were on board and Noah's family entered, God closed that door. But even when he closed that door, the rains didn't come. A week passed, right on a week, and nothing happened. Can you imagine being in a boat for a week? Let alone 100 years building the thing, can you imagine being in the boat for a week? People would be all around that thing. Just yelling at him, probably throwing stones. Like, who knows? The Bible doesn't say, but I bet it would have been fun, right? Like, we know what it's like now. And he would have been mocked that whole time. But then, as you know, that storm rolled in. The rains fell and fell and fell. And that's Noah. That's him embracing faith, hearing something from God and showing it in his actions. Not in feeding the poor, but in something, well, it's not really every day, but in something he believed from God. We all have things that God has told us, and that if we act that way, that might be a bit silly, a bit like, don't worry about money. Don't worry about God will provide for you, yet all we can see is the bills, and we choose to act like everyone else rather than choose to act like how God told us to act. This is Abraham. In Hebrews it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went out to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where to go. Can you imagine packing up your family and just walking out that Gracemere Highway? And your wife saying to you, where are we going? I have no idea. Like, we wouldn't even comprehend doing that now, right? If we felt we heard that, we probably would have felt that we didn't hear it, right? We're just another random thought, move on. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. When you have faith, you get a glimpse of what God is doing. You get a glimpse of what God has told you to do with your family. And then it doesn't matter what, I know it doesn't make sense, but it doesn't matter what the world's reason says. You suddenly get a glimpse of where you're going. And so faith isn't believing in nothing. Faith is, you've seen it, but it's not here yet. But you've definitely seen it. And you just hold off everything else and you trust God. And Abraham did that. As the picture says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Just hearing a thought from God, detractors would say, are you sure? It doesn't make logical sense. I think that sacrificing your son is the wrong thing to do. And he didn't have to sacrifice his son, but it took faith to lead him all that way. By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, since she considered that the one who had promised was faithful. Once again, Sarah's about 90, has a promise from God saying you'll have children, and just held on and held on. You can imagine what that conversation was like, right? Because Abraham was the one who got told. You can imagine he's coming in for breakfast, you know, Sarah's cooking up some eggs, and says, so what have you been doing, Abraham? And he says, I've had a great morning. I've been having my devotions. And you wouldn't believe God told me something. And she says, what was it? And he says, I don't really know how to put this, but he sort of just blurted out like a man, right? You're going to have a kid. Can't imagine that. She's 90. He just comes out, you're going to have a kid. And she says, you know, you sure God told you that? And you can tell she wasn't convinced because the Bible records her laughing when she overhears, you know, the angel telling Abraham about this. So, and I probably would laugh too. Like, we live in a modern world, right? We know that you can't have kids at 90. That's just impossible. But it says in Hebrews, like, often we hold up Abraham as the man of faith. But Hebrews also lists Sarah as a woman of faith. Because she was past the age, but she considered the one who had promised that he was faithful. So no matter what happened, Sarah considered God faithful. So she had the same faith as Abraham. And in James 2 it says, you see that faith was active together with his works, and by works faith was perfected. It's by our actions. It's by when God tells us to do something, our response to that is how faith is perfected. And Tony touched on this in his giving short talk on giving and faith. He said, we will have trials, and the trials are there to increase our faith. Can our faith save us? It can. When things come on to us, our trials, our actions, you know, our actions show that our faith is being perfected. And then it talks about Abraham. So the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness, and he was called God's friend. And we're called the same thing. In all the things that God's talking to you about, he's asking our response to believe, to actually believe what he's saying, and that it gets credited as righteousness. Dennis Wells. I want Dennis to tell us a story. It's just a little day in his life, how he chose to hold on to, well, when he told me this story, I was astounded, how he chose to hold on to faith no matter what other people were saying. Thanks, Dennis. I'll just sit here.
The story is that 7 years ago, me and Kylie bought a block of land that we were praying for, and we specifically prayed that the Lord would give us a block with good soil and good water. So when the time came to buy this block of land down Yeppoon, it had great soil, but there was no bore there. It was just had one tank, and we bought it anyway because we just really felt God's peace on the block, and so we purchased the block. And then we sort about the next thing we got, we need a bore. So I just thought, how do we get a bore? Like, I think I rang my dad up, and I said, how do we get a bore? I said, do we get one of those guys out to find it with the sticks? Because I remember as a kid, that happened at Emu Park once. And Dad's like, oh, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that now. He's like, so I asked a few people in the church, and they were like, oh, definitely don't get a water diviner out. They're just, it will curse your block. It'll just turn it sour. And then I asked another guy who actually was involved in drilling bores, and he was a Christian. He said, oh, you just start drilling. And he said, and you'll find water eventually. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. Like, and I was remembering Abraham and everything. And I thought, surely, Lord, that Abraham just didn't start aimlessly digging in the desert with picks and stuff. And the driller was booked for this day, and the day was approaching, and we didn't have a spot for the bore. I had no idea where the water was, and I just really prayed that day that, Lord, I'm a Christian, that, you know, I prayed, we got the good soil, I want the good water. And I said, you're going to have to show me where that water is so I can tell the driller to drill the hole. And I went to sleep that night just desperate. The driller was booked. it was either going to be him rock up or not tell him. And God gave me this amazing dream that he practically walked me to the spot and he pointed and he said, that's where the good water is. And it just so happened when I woke up, it was the time that I wake up. Like, it wasn't in the middle of the night. I just sprung out of bed. I said to Kylie, oh, I know where the water is. I said, God has clearly showed me where the water is. And she's like, where? And I come out and I put a stone on the spot, and the driller was rocking up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was pumped. We were all pumped. We thanked the Lord. And we saw these two massive trucks coming up our driveway. And as they start coming up, I just start getting real nervous, thinking, this guy's going to think I'm an idiot. You know, he jumps out of his truck and I introduce him. He introduces himself and he's like, so where did the diviner say the water was? Where did you want us to drill? Where did the diviner say? And I went, I walked him over to this spot and I'm like, I said real quietly, God gave me a dream and I kind of think that the water's there. And he looked at me, this guy. He said, you're kidding. And this other guy jumped out of his big truck. He come over, he says, oh, up here? He goes, no. He said, God gave him a dream. He said, he reckons the water's there. And the guy just went, the water's not here. And I just went, it's not? He's like, no. He said, I drilled the bore next door. I drilled the bore over there. I've been across the road. I've drilled that bore. He said, clearly the water is a lot further down the hill. And me and Kylie are just devastated. Like, I was like, oh, no, what's going on? And he said, I wouldn't drill the bore there. He said, I'd drill it down there. And he walked down and he said, yeah, there'll be water down here for sure. And we were just torn in half. I was just, I said to Kylie, what's going on? And anyway, we decided to let him go down there and drill that hole. And the whole time, my stomach is just churning. And as he's setting the drill up, I'm just walking up and down just thinking, Lord's going to strike me with a, you know, I just felt just sick. And they set the drill up. This process takes a long time. They get the drill exactly level. It takes an hour to set this thing up. And they start drilling. I'm sick. I can't even watch them. I'm just disgusted in myself. Walking up and down just thinking, oh, sorry, Lord. I'm just, you know, I knew the water was up there where he showed me. Anyway, an hour into it, they just decided to pull out. They said, no, this is no good. We're going to pack up and come back tomorrow, they said. And I said, no. I said, pack up here. And I said, I really believe the water's here. And they looked at each other and they just thought, oh, this guy's just, you know, off his head or something. And in the dream, I also saw the driller in this very awkward spot, like how it had to be positioned to get in this spot. And I said to them, you're going to have to back this thing in and hang your rig out this way. And they thought, oh, yeah, that would be the only way we'd do it. So they done it. And we start drilling in the exact spot. And then they hit solid rock, like just doof. And they're looking at me going, we've hit rock. And I'm like, do we have a rock breaker? Like, and they're like, we do. I said, well, we need to get that. So they've got to pull all these lengths out, get the rock breaker on, send it back down, and the rock must have been, oh, it was just, I was so nervous, with sweat pouring off me. And they'd already charged us money for that hole they drilled. That was $1,000 of disobedience right there. And they're drilling through this rock that seemed to go forever. We're all sitting around waiting, and then just, they got through the rock, and just bush, water come up. I'm hooting. We're in tears actually. Just, and they were like, oh, there was water here. Like, they were just, you know, and they went through the rock and done a bit deeper. And then they said, oh, we're going to case this. So they cased it and did everything that it needed. And Kylie went into town, asked him how much it was all going to cost, plus the $1,000. Kylie's driving into town, tears boiling down her eyes just because, you know, God told us where the water was. Like, how cool is that? And these guys are, They're quite humorous, these guys, with each other. And they tested the water. And I just remember this look on this guy's face when he read his testing meter. He comes over and shows the head guy in charge, and he's like, nah, test it again. He went and tested the water, and he's like, that is the best water I've ever seen. He's been drilling for years, this guy. He came over and said, I've never drilled a bore like this. He said, this is the best bore I've ever drilled. And I'm just so blown away. And he approached me and said, when Kylie paid him the money, and he said, you need to seriously think about getting into water divining. <He's> like, and but it just changed our life. Well, we were already on a path of just the Lord's blessing and favour was just so upon us, and it was just another way God had just proved to us how faithful he is, and his love is just abounding towards us. So.
Thank you. Thanks, Dennis. The reason I love that story, that story really impacted me when I heard that on a Be A Man camp a few months ago. And the reason it impacted me, because it reminded me of my life, not every day, but a lot of days, where you believe something, you believe God has told you, and someone comes up and says, mate, there's no water there. And you go, okay, plan B. And we've all done it, right? We've all taken the opinion of someone else who, yeah, these people have, you know, they do have experience and stuff, but God is bigger than them. So even people who have experience and knowledge, God is bigger than that. And sometimes he knows things that are outside human experience and human knowledge. And that's why the scriptures say, my ways are higher than your ways. So all the knowledge and learning in the world is still lower than God. And we have to learn to embrace faith. Even though, as Dennis says, when someone tells you, there's no water here, mate, your stomach just goes, you know? And those waves start kicking in that I was talking about at the start. Suddenly you start tumbling and trying to breathe for air, and, you know, there's time pressures. He's going, let's drill it, and you don't know where you're going. We've got to embrace faith. Consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So this trial that Dennis had all those years ago, that was to produce faith and endurance in him. His faith is now larger because of a trial that he went through. And Tony was speaking about that earlier. We're all called to do that. So next time you're thinking about life and faith and maybe something bad happens and where is God? Trials come. It's to grow faith. It's to pursue. Whenever there's doubt, it's time to, you know, read the Bible more. You know, faith comes by hearing. So if there's little doubts, go back to the Word of God, so that you may become mature. I'm going to finish off with this quote from Saint Irenaeus. He lived a long time ago. He lived in the 2nd century. He said, the glory of God is a person fully alive. And I can imagine if Dennis lived a day like that every single day of his life, he would be fully alive. I mean, that's living, right? And that doesn't bring, and it's not to bring, you know, glory to Dennis or his family. That story brings glory to God. And the glory of God is a person who embraces faith and lives that way. Faith grows, just as Jesus said it would. If you have faith like a tiny little grain of a mustard seed, small seed, but the object of your faith is trustworthy and has promised to do something, then exercise it and it will grow. Your faith, it's not the size of your faith. Faith can be small because it's not faith in yourself. Our faith is in God, and he's trustworthy. He's promised things. So it doesn't matter that the faith is small, because who we trust is big. and then we obey. Abraham obeyed. Sarah obeyed. Noah obeyed. And Dennis obeyed, even though it was after he spent $1,000. They believed and they obeyed. And then they were strengthened in their faith and gave glory to God. Faith never glorifies man. It glorifies God. It is God who acts, not we. What is accomplished is not something we do on behalf of God. It is God who does it by us and through us on his own behalf. It is God who acts. God, therefore, is thanked and God is glorified. And faith glorifies God. And that's, if you can remember this quote, the glory of God is a person fully alive, a person who embraces faith. Tony Ponicky, can you come up here, please, and lead us in prayers? The amount of times I do this, you think he'd start to expect this. But Tony's my closer. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Philip. Ben, why don't you come up here? Are you expectant of a trial? Who needs a good trial? You got good trials going already? Yeah? Got a few on the board? Yeah, good. Yeah, well, they're all good ones, aren't they? Yeah, faith. They stretch you, don't they? I should be about 12 foot tall. I actually should be about 12 foot tall, but no. Take that how you like. Why don't you stand with me? We ask the Lord to help us believe. Yeah, just the scripture coming to me, faith without actions is what? It's as dead as a doornail. Faith without actions. Don't you just ask the Lord to fill you with actions for this week? Ask the Lord to give you what you need to work out your faith this week. Why don't you ask him to put people in front of you that need to hear the gospel? Oh, that works out your faith. Why don't you ask him that now? Lord, help us to overcome the Goliaths that are placed before us, Lord God. Those things that seem like they're just too big. Just too big to overcome. And Lord, the truth is they are for us, but they're not for you. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. That just goes on and on and on. We thank you that you love us with that faithfulness. And you're never going to forsake us. And you're never going to leave us in whatever trial that comes our way. And we thank you for it. If you're facing trials right now, you got them right in front of you. The Lord is suggesting that you just start praying right now, believing to open the gates, the windows of heaven, because he wants to show you something to grow your faith like he did with Dennis. Whatever that might be, whether it be a health thing, he wants to heal you. A financial thing, he wants to deliver you. Whether it be a family member who's not saved and you're desperate to see them saved, believe for them now. Extend your faith. Let it grow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I ask you to release your anointing to all of us, Lord. That mustard seed would grow in us, Lord. It would expand and get bigger and bigger. Our faith would grow. We would mature, Lord. We would see you glorified in heaven. Lord God, glorified on the earth. As we believe, as your church believes, as your church believes, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, if you just need something from the Lord right now, for a step of faith, I want you to reach up a hand. Just a faith, a little faith thing, reach up a hand and grab it. So take hold of that, what you have for me, Lord Jesus, by faith. Whether that be that healing, whether that be that $1,000 that you need to fix up that bill. Reach up and grab it. You got it? Just believe. Just believe. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for filling us with faith, Lord God. Filling us with believing that you have everything in the palm of your hand, and you have us in the palm of your hand, and you are not letting us go under any circumstance. Thank you, Jesus. We rest in you today, Lord God. We believe on you. We believe on you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to sing a song, but before we do, just feel the Lord say, we've been praying for that unity in the body of Christ. And I didn't even hear about last night's thing until last night. So I want to just continue to believe for that unity in the body of Christ, and that the churches will knit together hearts. And I just want to believe for that right now. I believe for that for a long time, and a lot of you have as well. I just want to believe for that one more time. And just pray a prayer that in your own heart, just pray a prayer that the Lord would knit the church together in Rockhampton, and we would have that eldership that we have prayed about. So, Father God, we believe again today of a powerful, mighty, great church in Rockhampton, Lord God. Hearts knitted together. Hearts knitted together with a magnificent, wonderful, godly, fatherly eldership, Lord God. Coming together, a church coming together in praise and adoration and worship for a most high God. Lord, give us that place. Give us that, Lord God, we ask. By faith, we reach out and grab it, Lord, today, Lord. We believe for it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you that this city will be under amazing power and amazing anointing because of the unity of the body of Christ in Rockhampton. Amazing power and amazing grace upon the body of Christ. We believe for it now in Jesus' precious name. We take a hold of you again, Lord Jesus.